I'm going to share with you two topics or two thoughts. The Gemara says, Paschal has this aura, that the Gemara says that the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, which the Shofar is used on Rosh Hashanah, is Shal'ayel Kofuv, and the Shofar is used in Yom Kippur, the Gemara says it was Shal'ayel Poshut. The Gemara says, because on Rosh Hashanah, Kamal Kaib Inish, mild tefei, the more the person bows himself down to the Kabbalah Kodesh Baruch Hu's malchus, it's better. So the Shofar Rosh Hashanah, therefore, is kofuf, and the Shofar Yom Kippur is she'el poshut. So the more doesn't mouth with that other point, but he says that the void of Yom Kippur, different than the void of Rosh Hashanah, the void of Rosh Hashanah is the void of being kofuf oneself to the malchus of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Vodavim Kippur is the Veda of Yashrus, of a person finding a way how to address his issues. So it's intellectual, it's seichel, it's a thought process, and there's a logical progression from point to point. In other words, Rav Moshe Schwab in his Sefer talks about Tshuva Yom Kippur. The person comes to the Haklata, he says, you know what, I speak too much Lashon Hara, and I really need to stop speaking Lashon Hara. And he's very frustrated with it, he's really upset at himself, he has true Harata. He says, that's it, I'm Oizav Lachet, I'm never going to speak Lashon Hara again. The person hasn't created a plan of how to deal with the scenarios which he know will come up. So he's going to go back home, Ben Ismanim. And they ask him, so how was it in yeshiva? Is so and so still there in the yeshiva? Does he still talk too much? You know, what are you going to answer? What are you going to do? You know what's going to happen. It happened last minute's monim. It happened minute's monim before that. You know your friends. You know. So if you haven't created a plan how to deal with the issue, you haven't really done tshuva. Because you get the situation, you're going to fall apart. So a person has to sit there and push it and think. But tapulos tasa l'chomacham. He has to think through what he has to do. And so it's yashur. I've come to the hachlota that I'm mekabel Kodesh Baruch Hu's malchus. So I've come to the hachlota, I really want to change. I do plan to change. I need a process how to change it. It's not enough to have this hachlota. The person has to have some system of how he's going to do it. So the word of Kippur is the word of yashur, of yashur's. For whatever reason, but we many times mistakenly focus on the vote of Yom Kippur, and we focus on the harota part. You know, when a person comes to vidui and he feels very bad, and he says to vidui, and that's true. And the really two parts to tshuva are moida va'ozev yerucha. Moida, and the Bnei Yonah says that in moida is harota, because you only admit if you feel bad that you did it. So the act of vidui includes in its harota. But there's also a process of oizev, and oizev has to be, the person has to create a system how he's not going to do it anymore. To that effect, I want to share with you something which I saw in Rabbi Shimon Apelsdorf's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur survival kit, and something which is it's a nice process. One of the challenges we have in the world of tshuva is we look at ourselves and recognize that there's a lot that we would like to change. There's a lot we would like to do better, a lot we'd like to do different. And to do that, the problem is the more you chew off, the less chance you have of actually being successful. So he suggests that a person should take his avoida, his life, divided up into three areas. One area is ben adam l'chaveroi. One area is ben adam l'makom. One area is ben adam l'atzmai. And Rebbe in Ali Shur talks about this concept of ben adam l'atzmai is a very significant. There are areas which it's not interacting with somebody else, and it's not necessarily something which we define directly as ben adam l'makom, mitzvahs, etc. But it's the areas of personal growth. I would like to see that I have more self-control. So self-control is something which can impact another one. can have impact on the chaver, but my main makam avoda is in the area of self-control. I want to be more organized. It's not necessarily a veir ben on the makam. It's not a veir ben on the chaver. It can cause that. I'm not organized, I will sometimes not keep my obligations. If I'm not organized, sometimes I won't do something I'm supposed to do. But the etzem avoda really is avoda, which is a ben on the atzma. I personally feel I need to work on being more organized. So take, then he suggests, in each of these areas, take five things which you feel you need to work on in those areas. And list them from the one which is most important to you to the least significant of the five. Then over the day, you know, over the next few days, he talks about doing Yom Kippur. The idea is to take these five areas, so you have basically you have 15 things that you're working on. You're looking at, and take them through the process of charata. The person, and part of the process of charata, the person has to look at, okay, I'm not organized. How has it damaged me? To the point where I really feel motivated that I want to change that. So there's the frustration. Person, we tend to forget, and the heat of the, you know, we have a frustration, we have an issue, something bothers us, and we tend to forget how much it bothered us. A person has to go back in his mind to that point and say, okay, let's think about that again. When for the third time in a row this and this happened to me, I was very upset, it was very frustrating. I don't want that to happen again. What am I going to do? Person wasn't careful, didn't think before they spoke, and they hurt somebody's feelings. So right now you don't remember how bad you felt, but if you think, look back and see, like, you know, I did that in the summertime to one of my best friends, and I really was upset at myself, and it really bothered me that I don't think before I speak, and I really need to work on that. So the void of charata is to really think how much damage it's caused. There's also the element of charata which is ala osin, and this goes to a different question: where would I like to be a year from now? Where I'd like to be 5 years from now? Where I'd like to be 10 years from now? How is this problem which I have going to impede my growth? I would like to be 10 years from now, I would like to be, have accomplished X, Y, and Z, etc. And not being organized really is going to impede that terribly. So there's a charata aspect of I regret that issue. In the sense of, it's something which I really don't want it to be part of my being. I don't want it to be part of my being. Then the person has to go through a process of azivas achet, which is the process of, okay, how am I going to set goals for myself to get past this issue? Now, what we just did, there's two parts to goal setting. There's one part of goal setting which is the dream. You can't set a goal unless you have a dream. I would like to be X. I would like to accomplish X. I'd like to do X with my life. I would like to be a person who makes impact on different people. But it happened to be that I don't speak well. So now that I have this dream, okay, I'm going to set a goal for myself over the period of the next 6 months to add certain vocabulary words to my vocabulary. So I've translated my dream into a practical goal. A goal has to be practical. It has to have a time limit. It has to have a plan. And it also has to have contingency plan. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. What happens if this problem happens? Well, how am I going to address that? What motivations am I going to give myself? But the starting point always is that there's something, there's a bigger picture that person dreams about. If you don't dream, you can't really have a goal. So Baruch Hashem, we have dreams. We have dreams for ourselves. We want things we want to accomplish, things we want to accomplish in our personal life, things we want to be able to do for other people. And then there's the process of the damage that, you know, in areas which I feel I've damaged myself, Kadosh Baruch Hu, or another person, there's a process of vidui. So the person has this picture of where I would like to be, and he creates that picture of what type of person I would like to be. I stand on the Chav Tes Elul, Tavshin Ayin Aleph. Moments before Rosh Hashanah of Tavshin Ayin Beis. What would I have liked to accomplish for the year? How would I like to be different for the year? How would I like to, you know, say that I can look back and say I had a good year? I accomplished X, you know, X, maybe the amount, one person will say his goal for the year was to become more patient. Right? And he feels that he's done that. How am I going to measure that goal? How am I going to say, okay, I've reached my goal? Then, once a person truly is motivated to do this, this is, you know, I need to change in certain areas. I need to be more responsible. Right? Whatever the area it is, responsibility, organization, patience, self-control, whatever those things are, you have to remind yourself of that. You have to remind yourself. There's a beautiful sefer called Cheshbon Nefesh, Rav Sil Salanter. It was published before Rav Sil Salanter's time. Rav Sil Salanter gave it his approbation. He felt it was he suggested it to his talmidim to learn it, use, etc. For those of you who remember from your elementary school days, your day school days, so they always had this big chart from Torah Masorah called the 13 Midos of Rav Sil Salanter. So actually, that system of 13 minutes for Salanter is based on the Sefer Nefesh, the Cheshbon Nefesh. The Cheshbon Nefesh Sefer basically is a system where a person takes these X amount of things that he wants to work on. He suggested 13, because if you do 13, you can go through your list four times in a year. A year is basically 52 weeks, 13 times 4. And each week you take one, you make yourself a one-liner, which is a reminder about this meter. Okay, this I'm working on the meter of patience. So you say to yourself, I'm going to breathe twice before I whatever. And you write that line. And then for a week, that is going to be that line, you're going to constantly think about that line. So it's a one-liner, he says, which will put that thought into your forefront. You keep a cheshbon, how you did. Remember the first time I did it, I wanted to work on the meat of Emmas. Now, I'm not an outright liar, but there's many areas of the world of Emmas which are in it. We're not, you know, there's honest and there's honest. Are my actions honest? There's a maysa with from Chatzkel that there's a Talmud, I think it was a Talmud, there's a Talmud Chochem, it was Nifter in Bnei Brak. Which conflicts and some other shaykhs do, etc. They asked him to be masbin, and he said no. Which they found very strange. That Pekaskel, you know, the more it talks a person, he's out of his medical chacham, the more says terrible things about him. Why did he say no? So he explained that one of his grandchildren had just been niftered that day, and he was in tremendous pain, and he's concerned he's going to get up and say a hesped about this talmud chacham. And people are going to think that he's crying because he really feels the tsar of losing a Talmud Chacham, but really he's crying because of the fact that he lost his grandson. So the people misinterpret his tears, and that's not emes. Now that's a different madrig of emes than saying an outright lie. You know, there's many actions which we do, which a person says, you know, tells you something, and you nod your head. They interpret the nod your head, that you knew that. You know, yeah, right. Well, you nod your head because you never heard it before in your life. You want to sound intelligent, so you nod your head. Yeah, right. That's not MS either. You know. So I said, you know, let's be honest with ourselves, that there's a lot of things which we do which they're not sheker, but they're not totally honest. So at the end of the day you take your little chart and you mark off how many times you feel you didn't keep to your pitgam for the day. It was earth-shattering, I think. It wasn't earth-shattering, but it was image-shattering to me the first day that I made the cheshbon. And I came to the recognition of how many times I put, you know, he suggests you have a little box and you put dots in it. You know, you have a week's worth and you put dots in it. So I, you know, if you want to take a bet before the day, how many dots I'm going to put in the box, I didn't predict so many dots. There was too many dots in that box. But what it did for me was it made me aware of the fact that I have an issue. it made me very aware of that, you know, there's a lot of motions that I do which are not 100% honest. And it was like, wow. The next day was a little bit better because I was very aware of it. And it was that one-liner which it kept me, you know, focused. So a person should take, you know, each one of them. And so what Yosef Lanter did is he took the system. Says you go through your list of 13 weeks, and he said over again. And then four times a year you go through the list, and then you make a tally for the year. That's your cheshbon nefesh for the yom neroi. That's the Sefer suggests. He also suggests, which I'm not sure necessarily that works for us, that while you're working on the main one, of course you have in mind all of the other 12 also. It's like, well, you know, how about we should work on the main one, you know, for that week. It doesn't have to be 13 either; it could be 5. You know, my list, I think I had 5 things that I'm working on, and I had a 5-week turnover, where, you know, after 5 weeks you start over again. And it helped put it in the forefront of the person. So a person has to read this. He has to look at his list again. He has to look at his list again. That's they're very different ways of doing it. Rabbi Zelig Pliskin has a very powerful sefer called Gateway of Self Knowledge. I don't remember which one it is. Gateway 2? Of? Whatever. Okay. Get the point. And basically he talks about the idea of tshuva and changing, etc. And then what he does is he has different midas, and he has questions that a person should ask himself about the midah. So get a feeling of where you're at and maybe motivate you to work on it, etc. And it's about 200 different midas, and there's a list of questions in every one of them. I have to tell you that there's people which, over the years, which I've told not to use the sefer, because the sefer can be very depressing. It's a very overwhelming sefer. You know, you look at one thing, you look at two things, you look at 10 of them, you look at 20 of them, you look at 30 of them. You're like, you know, I'm a mess. I'm an absolute mess. Now you might be an absolute mess, but it's not going to be very motivating. Person takes one that he wants to work on, and he takes that list. Even that one list, it's very powerful. He also has a list of daily questions a person should ask himself at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. Okay, what are my plans for the day? What am I going to accomplish today? How did I do today at the end of the day? How did I do? So instead of making that list on everything, you know, in one or two areas, a person say, okay, at the end of the day, I'm going to make a list, sit down, 5 minutes, end of the day. How did I do today? I wanted to be more pleasant. I wanted to smile with people more. You know, how did I do today? Did I feel that I did well on that? How am I going to do today for the next day? So again, so the vote of Yom Kippur is not this kol rash gadol. You know, I once asked a young man if he did. It was, you know, there's a mitzvah deraisa. Ben Yehuda says a person is a chiyuv gomer. Person has a chiyuv to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. So I asked the person after Yom Kippur if he did tshuva. So he answered, no, he was too busy davening. Now that's true. I have to tell you that Yom Kippur is a very full day, and you're davening. While you're davening, you're not really thinking about tshuva. You're not really working on the process of tshuva. You're saying your words, etc. You might have karata, etc. You're not really thinking about doing tshuva or anything. And it's very easy for a person to fill up his whole Yom Kippur with davening, you know, maybe a little bit of musr, and listening to leining, and being yertz to his mea brachas, and the day's over. He didn't do tshuva. He didn't really, really address at least one thing in his life that he felt that he honestly changed. You know, that people say they make the small kabbalas, etc. What's the deal with small kabbalah? The deal with small kabbalah has to be emes. It isn't small, the deal is it should be emes. And you make a big change, that's not going to be emes. A small change is a tremendous thing. Why is it a tremendous thing? So the tells of Rav has a shmuz where he talks about, he gives a mashal. He says, if you can picture in your mind a football field, he doesn't say a football field. He says, in Europe, you say a soccer field, right? Picture in your mind a soccer field. And the soccer field is covered with sesame seeds. One sesame seed high. And there's this field which has sesame seeds on it. They're just laid out one next to the other. There's billions of sesame seeds on that field. Now, if you add another layer on top of it, and you cover the whole field, what you add is not really obvious that you added anything. The difference between the height of one sesame seed and two sesame seeds is very minimal. But the reality is that you added billions of seeds. He says, and human beings, godless, he said he encompasses the whole Bria. He impacts the whole Bria. He's connected to the whole Bria. So any growth that one does, even if it's minimal, it's minimal in the perception of the person, but the reality is it's going to impact across the whole universe. Then he says, the truth is the mashal is not valid, because when you add the sesame seeds, the second layer, the first layer remains the same. But a human being, when he grows a little bit, everything in the person changes. So it's not that he became a little bigger. The whole person is a different person. The Rambam says that the process of tshuva is that you come to Kodesh Baruch Hu and it tears the gzart in, because you come to Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm not the same person that did the chet. The person of the chet was a little bit less mature, a little less careful, a little more self-centered, and I'm a different person now. I'm not the same person that did the chet, so the gzera doesn't apply to me. And that's the process how tshuva tears the gzart in, because the void of tshuva is to change the person. I made a photocopy of a few different things which along these lines. If somebody wants to borrow it, make a copy of it. It has the Cheshbon Nefesh system in it. It has daily questions from Rav Pliskin. It has every Apostorf's questions. And it has a very nice piece from the Chavos Lubavitch along the same lines, and a piece from the Urchus Tzaddikim along these lines. It talks about the process of tshuva, etc. So if you want to make a copy, they make a copy. I want to share a second thought with you, which is really, obviously it's one area which I want to think about. We said over once from Reb Simcha Zisel has the Ha'ara that we know that Avraham Avinu was the Rosh HaMaminim. Avraham Avinu was the philosopher par excellence, and he came to recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu through his mind, which is a tremendous accomplishment. He lived in a generation which did not have that hakara, and he was able through his mind to come to the hakara of Kadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that he was willing to be Moshe Nefesh. It was so clear to him that that's the reality of Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's willing to go into Kivshon Eish. Avraham Avinu was also the Isha Chesed, the Amud Chesed, Avraham Avinu, right? Chesed. So it seems to us at first glance that these two midas are not connected at all. Those are two independent things. Avraham Avinu was the Amud Chesed. Rabbeinu was the Rosh HaMaminim, and it happens to be they're both in the same person. And he says that that's not true. What the impediment which prevents the person from recognizing the Kadosh Baruch Hu in himself, in the Bria, is the fact that the person is focused on himself. The self-focus of the person, self-centeredness of the person, prevents him from seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that same issue is prevents him seeing the needs of other human beings also. The more a person gets outside of himself, the more the person gets outside of himself and he's able to notice other human beings and other people's needs and truly notice their needs, not his own projection of needs on them, that person will that much more be closer to the world of Amun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mentioned to you, the Stipler has a mikhtav where he says, it's Yidua, it's Baruch Amunusis, is Lashon. It's been proven, it's been tried and tested, that if a person has Gaiva, as he removes the Gaiva, he gets Amunah. The greatest impediment to Amunah is Gaiva. Now, we picture Gaiva as this guy, but it's the self-focus of the person. And there's a Maisa with Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, to hear, what does it mean, you know, the Rebbe talks about the idea of chesed, it says, you know, he gave an avodah to his chabura, a mid of chesed, to go out, don't do anything. But three times a day, somebody that you notice, think about their needs, and trying to be misbonen in what they need. Become aware of other people. And they gave the chevra this avodah for 2 weeks, and 2 weeks the chevra of the vod got together again, He asked them to give a report. He says, what they basically reported was that they found that most people have the same needs as them. So he said, you know, what you did was you didn't notice the other person and their needs, but rather you projected onto that person yourself. So you're still really focusing on yourself. So the Maaser of Shmuel Rozalsky, he was walking with a bacher, a younger man, and they're walking on the way to yeshiva to say shir, and a little boy comes up to them and asks them, "Did they know what time it is?" So the younger man looks at his watch and he says, "It's 5 to 3." Reb Shmuel looks at the boy, looks at the young man, bends down to the boy and says, "In 5 minutes, it'll be 3 o'clock. And the boy smiles and he runs away. So he turns to the young man after and says, "What just happened?" So the boy came to us because he needed to be home by 3 o'clock. He didn't understand the words 5 to 3. He doesn't understand that. But he does understand that you tell him in 5 minutes it'll be 3 o'clock and he has to go home. And then he continued on to his shir. So he says, the young man hit him, you know, that this big autumn gadol with this busy, you know, Rosh Hashiva, etc., understood the 4-year-old child better than he did. He understood the child's needs. Sir Rosamund mentioned yesterday, you know, I want to take it 2 stages. He mentioned, you know, so you meet somebody there in the shul and you say, "You turn around the business," and you say, "Good Shabbos to them." You did your minimal not to be rude, as Rosen put it. Okay, let's take it right through. You know, where you're from, etc. You know, you can talk to the person, etc. But I want to take it a step further, and this is the real challenge. You know, he says you want to be great and be a giant. He says at the end of the day, all the questions you're going to ask him are that if you're in the same situation, what you would need. So at the end of the day, you're defining his needs by yourself. Godless is you're able to get into his mind, even though you've never had that experience, and you don't know what he needs. You can still understand him. You don't remember what it's like to be a 4-year-old child. But you can look at a child and say, you know, this is the life of which, this is the world that he lives in. What are his needs in his life? I'll give you a moshe. Many Bachrim grapple with this issue. You know, Yerusha made all of us different. We have different needs and different personalities, different tools and efforts, etc. And I want to finish this thought. I'm a laid-back guy. Nothing gets under my skin. For the life of me, I can't understand why this guy gets frustrated so easily. I can't understand it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why can't he just be more relaxed? Well, the Baruch didn't make him like that. And he can't be more relaxed. But if Kolzman, I'm measuring him based on my understanding of what the world's supposed to look like, he doesn't make any sense. I never understand what his needs are. He needs things to be organized, etc. It's important to him. It's not important to me. It's not important to me because I can take whatever comes. This person, by a husband and a wife, the wife needs, she needs to be on time to things. It drives her crazy. She's not on time. The husband really couldn't care less. Like, so why can't you be more relaxed? You know, don't be late. It's not the end of the world. That's where you look at the world. It's not how she looks at the world. That's not her need. You have guys in the dorm. You know, again, we many times we understand other people's needs, but again, the measure we use is our own. Somebody asks you for a favor. Right. You can respond to the favor and give it, you know, and then sometimes you can make the person feel good while you're responding to the favor. Just think, you know, I can notice something, and it was, you know, you make the person feel like he did you a favor by asking. That's a whole different level of understanding. This person's need isn't just for the favor. This person's need is to feel good about himself. So how can I twist this answer that the guy will feel good that he asked me? He said, "Well, I'm feeling like, you know, Nebuchadnezzar had to come on to me for a favor." There's ways of doing it which are like really getting into other person's neshama, other person's kishkas. And when you do that, that's what it means getting outside of yourself. Then a Kodesh Baruch Hu is real. That's the chesed which creates, makes a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the Emunah chesed which creates the Rosh HaMaminah. When you truly get outside of your own mind, your own being into somebody else's mind, and somebody else's vantage point, somebody else's understanding, then you will become a great person, not only in the world of chesed, but in the world of Avodas Hashem, because Kodesh Baruch Hu will be very real to you, and you will become a person that Kodesh Baruch Hu is. You see how Kodesh Baruch Hu does that, and you want to be the same as the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Beram l'malkam, beram l'chaveira, beram l'hatzim. Shibizoycha, our tshuva shemini is kabbalah.